but I'm just going to ask you, that, you know, general questions. And I think the first thing you told me, you were, what, in 1937, you would have been a junior in high school, is that right? Sophomore. And you were working, I know that they were, weren't you working on the levee? Did they have a group of young people? Tell me about that.
Well, I think the announcement was made in school that, that the river was rising rapidly and they needed help. And to go close the school, and they invited, I think, the juniors and seniors, boys, to go down to the levee to help bag sand and pack sand bags on the top of the levee. I was supposed to go over the sophomore college. And I decided to go down and see the bags. I don't remember whether I actually worked filling the bags or carrying the bags, but I know I was there. And I was there until dusk. And at that time, somebody came around and said, "Boy, cut it off. Go home." And so we did. I went back to Chippy Street, and it was on. My house was on, and I had to look down. Apparently, the facility provided some vehicle trucks to move people. Michael Hall had to have a truck.
So, now, was there water in your house at that time?
No.
So, that's before the, levee broke. Now, what was the, I mean, you know, you were a sophomore in high school, but what was the mood among the other students or among the townspeople? Were they frightened, or did they think they were safe because of the levee? What do you think?
Well, I can only speak for the people working on the levee at that time. And those people were energetic and getting all the energy they could, filling the sand bags and stacking them all up. See, I understand that the levee was built to hold that hole about 72 feet of water at that time. And when they finished home, apparently it was lapping near the long sand bags on 50 foot. And they thought that they couldn't, I'm assuming they received information from upstream that it was still raining very hard up there. It was so wet, snowy winter, they called that. A lot of water. And I bet that the ground and the roof of the factory,
Now, for the most part, before the levee broke, Lawrenceburg was pretty safe. I would say compared to, say, Aurora or DG, where they were already underwater, right?
But the levee did not break, it's my understanding. That is, it ran, there was a road that took her out to the entry, and over the top of it, and then the other road had washed it out. The levee held, and this top was just too massive a body of water.
So you were sandbagging, and where were they putting the sandbags? Up on the top of the levee?
On top.
To try to make it higher, right? And they said, I guess they probably taken it home for your own safety. They knew that it wasn't gonna sooner or later the water was going to stop,
right?
And they wanted to get people out of there, I would think. And so you went home and you didn't find anybody. What happened?
So I inquired. Some people were around there, like hurrying around and moving things. And I know at home we moved everything from the fifth floor up to the bedroom. And thinking, well, that was going to be safe there. And then I moved on out to, I had an aunt that lived in Rick Avenue in Dingy. And that would be the trifling place that my family would go, which was my mother and my sister. I walked out there and came up and everybody was there.
Now, do you remember, did you have a phone in your house at that time?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, people watching today would, you know, they're used to just picking up your cell phone. You see, He had to plan more back in those days, and he just didn't know sometimes.
Well, we didn't have no telephone in my head. Now, the house I lived in was a duplex, and the half that we lived in belonged to my grandmother, and the other half belonged to her sister. She had a phone. And of course, when somebody was going to call my mother, that aunt in Cincinnati, for example, the aunt knocked on the wall, and there was yelling. Back and forth, and she wasn't on the phone most of the time, so I wasn't able to answer the phone. But that's all. And they also had the radio, we did not.
Well, let me take you back to you. You're young, Frank, you're just a sophomore in high school. You come home, and you know this water is going to go over the levee, and I mean, what was your state of mind? Were you alarmed at all? Were you frightened, or?
No, I didn't think I was alarmed. I don't recall that. But what I thought was good is you school something. And I didn't have to learn from school. However, over time, not only was John Fenner moved in to my nation on this avenue, other people moved in too. She had two daughters.
Well, let me take you back, and then I want to return to the fact that it was cold. But, so you came back to the house. What time of day do you think that was that they released you guys?
Way around.
I would think that would be a little bit bewildering to be there by yourself and realize my family's already. Was the furniture already upstairs by that time, or
they were in the process? Because the message went out that they could climb it, driving down, up and down the street. That moved in time. They moved it by truck on 3rd Street, from Old Town to 3rd Street. I believe it was the highest elevation in North Coast. And then the equipment they wanted to.
Then when did the water come into your house that night?
Well, they said that the bells and the churches and the whistle of the factories were blown about midnight. And that would be January the 27th, I think. But yeah, that whole day signal was in the country. I can remember after the water was receded, walking on to 3rd Street near Water Street and looking across there with a sidewalk that just slipped over. I filled in to the bottom on the outside first, and of course filled in that water. Well, as kids we call it, it. And it just toppled the sidewalk, concrete sidewalk, and then it's the other.
room was the pit where the ball fields are there.
Yeah.
Where Kroger was down there.
No, where the playground is now and the ball field.
Yeah, that's low ground, isn't it?
On the other side was called the pond, I believe, and then the children were there. At that time, the high school was on the short street. And they were building a new high school over the pond.
So where it is now, right?
And construction, of course, had to stop on that.
So, where was the old high school?
Right across from the playground to the central of the State Park and from
High School Central?
The high school is where Central is now.
Yeah, okay. I didn't realize that. Now, was Highway 50 there then?
Yeah. Well, First Street, Highway 50.
And it went through Newtown just the same way it does today, or did it go through town?
No, I don't know. I don't know. The old 50 went through Newtown. It's over in the middle
now. Oh, yeah, right.
That was 3rd Street. Now 50.
So you went out to your aunt's, and when did you come back to your house?
Well, there was a lot going on in the meantime, but the problem getting food in Clarksburg, the only way they could bring it in was on Highway 48, old 48 now. The Bobert family owned a farm right there, and that's where they brought food down 48 at that point. Word went out that Red Cross would hire young boys, young men, to row boats from the Figley warehouse to use for storing food products or anything else. Equipment, food, clothing, all those things are on there. So I can do that, and I can get you some money. So I volunteered, they hired me, they gave me 2 oars, and a flat bottom metal boat that I believe is Coast Guard supply. So, it was in the butcher, and the water was frozen along the banks, and then it was receiving at that time. So, I got in the boat, and I started at about Penny Creek to get away from the top of the lake to pick up my boat.
And then, Taylor Creek was real high, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was a long way to row, right?
Right. There was water completely from there. But it was starting to recede, too. And as a result, there's an explosion, so the row crossed the creek here and rolled up the tree. And because of the flooded, we were rolling in the tree area. So the ice was hanging up, maybe a foot or 2 by the water, and it had to break that off and get it under. And get far enough up the tree to roll across, so that fighting the stream downward, we ended up. So I rode over and I made it. And that's how I made the other side. They loaded bags of grapefruit, stacked them in front and behind me. I couldn't see where I was going. It said, take off. I rode back across that creek. I had to go up for a little while. So I didn't far enough up to start across as I floated down the tower. How hard it was. I made it across. I pulled into the unloading area. That's it. Somebody else has these doors. So I'm not going back across that tree again. So I left the tree one trip. But that's the way it's all in all this time.
Well, you know, looking back, that's a pretty dangerous position to be putting a sophomore in high school.
Yeah, I'm right. That's the reason I made much of a trip. Somebody else would have to bring the food in off farm.
Well, I can think of the maturity level that I had and my friends had as a sophomore in high school, and I can't taken too many of it that wouldn't have got out there and capsized or something. Did you have experience in boats?
I thought I had. But I'll be confident, you know,
Yeah, that must have been running pretty darn fast.
Well, other people did it. They go over the moon pages and so on. And they're looking up for the moon.
Well, I think one of the things, you know, even I was used to having floods a lot when I was a kid, and I remember the big one in 1961. But those were always in the spring, and I think the interesting thing about this 37 flood was it was cold. Growing up in the Depression, you know, you'd already seen a lot of hardship.
Everybody had a kind of struggle. Everybody was going to take a treatment. And my way was that a large part of the spring was trying to take the kind of end on that issue. And then it was kind of, I remember they gave me a little call.
Well, getting back to the cold, how did the cold affect the you know, just dealing with the flood?
Well, I know that when the water started to climb and level downtown, Dad and I went down to the boat area and signed up for a boat. We rode down to our and also a hot
What does that feel like as a kid, chopping up your own furniture just to stay warm?
I tried to look. I'm looking out with my head in the backyard. It's a two-story barn.
What did that feel like when you saw that barn taking off?
Yeah, I'm afraid it was going to hit the house, too, and get destroyed. But it did not. Enough green force to carry the fire around. And it would have floated down 6th Street, turning on the truck.
So, what took that? Was that Tanner Street that took that?
Well,
yeah. Now, when your parents left the house, did they take warm clothes with them, or were you warm enough during that whole time?
I don't know, because I wasn't with them.
How did you get to Greendale? Now, did you have a car in the family?
No.
At that time?
No, I don't believe so, because the old time dad did have a car, he and I were still. And to actually get back in the barn without wheels on it, to take the wheels off and put them on the wall, that's by taking the wheels off. And put the car in the block. We eventually pulled back the money. We had to do it. So we had no
to do it. Why did we take the wheels off?
Well, the car was blown out.
Oh, yeah.
The barn, which had a similar form, we couldn't get stored that way.
Now tell me about this. You say you, did they call it a tent city out in Greendale, or what did they call it?
Mm-hmm.
And you visited out there, right?
Yeah. In the morning, and
what was it like?
Cool. Very cool. Just wandered around in the park on the hill.
Now there's all kinds of things that, was there a baby born out there? Do you know it? Or
it seems some good old girl was, so, yeah, probably there.
Any idea how many families or how many people were out there?
No, I have no idea, but this is very much a big in the history of one part of my strength and the second part of that.
He always said, I thought I'd make sure he said it was true at all, and I thought that's true, but...
Right, yeah, I love the gold, and 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 I love the gold, if I recall, he even took my hair back and it was in the day of school. And that's where we went to school and to do the group, equipment, and the school, and going down to the, you know, working in the home, and cleaning up, office, food, and stuff.
You know, that's something I didn't think about is food. What did you get? How are you doing so far, Frank? Okay?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, there's no right or wrong. But boy, you should have.
I just can't believe you weren't home. Your parents had already left.
Nice. You said you can't believe you went home and your parents had already left.
Yeah.
So I'm stuck out.
Yeah, I'm sure they were worried about me. They
were worried about parents and all that. Yeah, when you found it, your aunt's house, your dad said, ah, darn, you found it. We got to move again.
Okay. Let's see. You were talking, I think, about the tattoos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were saying it was cold and there were a lot of people there. And, oh, we were talking about food. You know, that's something you don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
You think you just, well, I went to my aunt's and there was plenty of food, but there wasn't food. You did, first of all, you did more shopping, right? You didn't have the freezers to put stuff in.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there was no ice helping now to supply ice for ice boxes. You just had to have it and then use it and then take it more and then use it. The food was brought in and it was issued from the good day of school, I believe it's amazing. I could be wrong there, but I think it's correct. And I remember they had the food of it, I remember mostly grapefruit.
Where did that all come from? It was the Red Cross?
The Red Cross brought it in by truck down to the east.
And then they wrote that then over to the school, the Greendale School?
Yes. And I used part of the paper in the White House for the chapter 10 news dissertation. Some kids there from whatever they did, they had the equipment that helped them to the school. The commissary.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had to go over there, they said, hey, they had to get the house on this avenue was full. And I don't know how people survived that way, but they did. But after we did the initial survey of our home down there, then we went down and took the boat again and rode down to the house. We started cleaning up. And that's where the boat showed up. Eventually the water was down to the basement area. So then the fitting got pumped around and was sent out to the basement. But we had a big cleanup job and we found that buckets, furniture, clothing, furniture, and all that had to come back. And it was across the living room to the water, pumped out from lot of hard work in trying to make that transportation work. And my neighbor was a thousand for the patient said that you know we ought to have to find the bag of wine that we have down here. And I wonder if it's still out there. I said, if they had a good story about all the patients and stuff, it's from the first hill. So we still have maybe a couple of feet of water from there. And we found a table. We set it up on the table there. Everybody has a table.
Well, do you think the wine was still good, or did the water seep in there?
No, the water won't seep in if the wine didn't seep out.
So that's how your dad celebrated the water finally.
Right. He wasn't impressed, but that's probably the reason he wanted to clean up the house.
Well, it might have been a small victory, but at that time you needed something to celebrate, I guess, huh?
Wow. So once the water was, after it was all gone, and so to walk through the city of Concord, it was a higher structure than just about every step of the town. And so that was the impression that was left there to see it. And how the people came back and rebuilt. And I think Red Cross and the Red Cross too, that they're the ones that provide the money to athletes in baseball to finish clinics. And I think every time I've had to go to the office in Rochester, who made a list of all the things that they lost, the number of families, we then gave them a piece of paper and entitled them to the state of the world. And so I recall when I was a finisher factor.
So did you get new? Did you get
new living room, dining room, bedroom, furniture? I didn't
know that.
Huh.
How long did it take the water to go back down?
I think the city was underwater maybe 2-3 weeks. And to go down another 2 or 3 weeks, the National Guard supplied security and the public area and control it. Other people from
what do you think the mood of the people was at that point? I mean, all these people that have been flooded out, and you come back, and your house must just look like, is it worth the effort, or even, I mean, what did people think? What were people saying?
I think what they thought was the children did.
You say that again, I'm sorry.
Let's say that one more time. I think they thought it was going to work.
Because they had no money to go buy again. They'd rather return what they had. The depression left people in that situation. If my family is any major, then most families.
Nobody has flood insurance or anything like that.
No.
Did neighbors help one another, or?
Oh, yeah. Well, the people in Bridgeville were opening up their house to the neighbors in some case. Maybe they didn't help them. Maybe they didn't help them.
What do you think Lawrenceburg learned by going through that?
Don't let it hide. And you did. The letter that you had at the time of the flood was supposed to be this whole thing about 72 feet of water. The year that was built, I'm not certain, it was actually one of our competing floods. So this flood we had now called the seawall, or at least that's what we call it under construction. And it is supposed to hold flood water down the level of the house. Well, the flood was up on 82 feet, I think.
I always wondered that too. I mean, the Aurora sure got hit by floods, did not?
It didn't have much level ground. The hill system was right up against the
Now, I remember the 61 flood, but I don't remember Lawrenceburg because I imagine it closed the floodgates. I mean, nobody was going anyplace yet. So in 1961, downtown didn't flood here, did it?
No, it was not. It did close the gates, and travel had come to do it over the years.
Well, we're pretty much at our end here, Frank. Anything else that you think is significant to mention about the 1937 flood?
Well, one other thing is that I was told, and I think this is a piece, there was only one building in my first that was up in the first. And it was right across the street from the president's office. It's a gas station. And I believe that was the only building that was across the street.
I mean, that was on the very outskirts of Lawrenceburg, right? So there's only one building in all of Lawrenceburg,
yeah.
Wow.
Incredible.
Now, you don't know about any of the other areas, like Rising Sun, was it high? Did it escape the flood?
The biggest scare, I think, in Lawrenceburg was when there was this large fire. My believe it was either kerosene or gasoline or oil fire sometime in Cincinnati. And they were so afraid that that might float down into Lawrenceburg.
Were there any fires in Lawrenceburg? I mean, I would think it was pretty hard to control all that kerosene and gasoline. So there had been gas stations that were underwater.
And the water was closer in the gas, closer than the water.
How long did it take you to put your house back to life for the day? Anything else you can think of, Frank, that you want to know about the flood?
No. long time ago. You could possibly give me a chance to come to town. But it's something that's not just to offer to my grave, but to me, I was young enough for it. I didn't really feel
that's true. I mean, as a youngster, you don't have anything to lose, so you lost it all. Well, I didn't lose much. But for your parents, or for other people that lost their whole home, as an adult, I would think it would be hard to see your house just almost totally ruined, or think of all the work that you had. But yeah, you got kids you got to take care of, so mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Frank. I really appreciate it. Well, Jerry, do you have anything you'd like to
ask? No, Dad, I don't. No. Very interesting.
I love your stuff.
I do. Frank, do you remember how long you were out of school? When did school reopen?
Look at me when you answer that. But
no, I do not remember the length of time. But the school had to be cleaned up too.
I'm thinking Chris McHenry told me April. So this happened in January, and it was April before they went back to school, as I understand it. What else you got, Joyce? Anything?
The building of the new high school. Obviously, the flood really set that back as well.
Oh, yeah.
Was it damaged still?
I don't think it's far enough along that this could be damaged from 2003. The superstructure of the structure they weren't in the finished stage. If they had been in the finished stage of construction yet, I don't think it's there. But it makes you wonder though, because right now we're having a serious rebuilding of the gymnasium in our school. So I think that's mostly related to a failure of the footings, which are close to the water table.
I remember my father telling me that, he would have been a junior that year, and he was in charge of the prop. And he had to hustle, and, they have it in their gym, but they had to find another place that year to do it. And, you just think of all the little things that it disrupted, all the little, all the little things that had to be rescheduled, all the big things that had to be
the people or ever since the flood, when they had to remodel themselves in this whole thing. And so when you tear into the walls and you find all the flood,
what do you think, Joyce? Anything else?
I can remember one thing, Dennis. The American State Bank on Wall Street moved across the street. A new building about 30 years ago, and when they took the safe deposit boxes out of the vault, there's mud from the 37 flood that got into the vault, and so there's mud behind the safe deposit boxes that they took out of there.
Oh, I'm just a million things that must have affected.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, you know, you would, it takes years to write all that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Frank. I really appreciate it. Oh, yeah, it's going to work. You bet.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. How are we doing?
Yeah.